Hi, hello, and welcome to the Sex Sales Podcast. I am your host, Eliza, and if you're new here, this is a podcast about dating, sex, relationships, psychology, society, you know the drill. I hope you've all been well. I'd like to start by saying again, this podcast is sponsored by my beautiful friend's business called Perceive Events. That's Personalized Events, P-E-R-S-E-V-E Events. The details will be on the show notes. She does a lot of events for corporate organizations like team bonding, team celebrations, any event that you need within your business. This woman can organize it and she will do it a 10 out of 10 job. And like I mentioned last time as well, you can literally hire me, get your work to pay for me to come in and do a team building session too. Or she also has a team of, she's got drag queens, she's got yoga teachers, she's got Pilates teachers, she's got the whole shebang. So highly recommend this service if you're in Sydney, Australia. And yes, other than that, everything else has been smooth sailing. I'm sorry this is late. I don't know why everything's been smooth sailing. I've actually had one of those weeks that has been absolutely hectic, just really busy, a lot of things going on as well in my personal life that have been some barriers. So got a lot of new clients I started with last week, and then all my childcare arrangements unfortunately have gone out the window, so I will be managing that and probably doing a lot of late nights now instead. But that's all part of life, I suppose. And yeah, other than that, I wanted to talk today about when you've been rejected by someone and why this happens, how we feel, how we cope, etc., etc. And I want to preface this by saying two things. First of all, you may note that I accidentally fall into the pattern of using gendered pronouns like she rejecting him or leaving this guy. And the reason I'm doing that is probably one, unintentionally, but two, because a lot of the messages I get about this and asking for me to talk about this topic have come from guys that are dealing with rejection from women, or getting ghosted and breadcrumbing and all these things and are struggling with it. And it came up, I will talk about that in a moment, like with a specific situation came up where I was asked to talk about it, like a specific scenario, sorry, not situation. So yeah, and the other thing I want to preface this by saying, I currently work with like at least maybe like six of my clients that are men are working with me on processing rejection, relational trauma, breakups, those kind of things. And so if you're a client listening to this podcast, I am not going to be referencing any of your situations. Of course, if I were to ever reference a situation, it's always with consent given. My clients give me consent to talk about like vague experiences they've gone through on their podcast. I just don't want my clients listening to this thinking, holy shit, she's talking about me, because I'm not. So the advice I am giving or the situations I am explaining are not your situation. So don't apply this to you, to yourself. It's for basically what happened was a couple of weeks ago, I posted on my Instagram an am I the asshole link, question box type thing, because it's my favorite subreddit. And basically what happened, basically what happens is people would post on Reddit saying a situation, like one I came across recently, it's been going on the internet as well, is am I the asshole for kicking out my wife because she punched my mom in the face? And then they provide the context, and often there's actually a lot of context. So obviously upon hearing that, you want to say, of course you're not the asshole. Your wife punched your mom. But then when you hear about what the mom did, you're like, maybe she's not the asshole. And maybe you are the asshole. So the options you can do to respond to this is, yes, you're the asshole. You're not the asshole. Everyone sucks here, or no assholes here. So I did. a little homemade version of that on my Instagram story. And people were sending in questions about like, yeah, scenarios. Am I the asshole? And some of them I was surprised at like the answers I thought would be obvious. Like one guy was it's like, am I the asshole if I still look at my ex's nudes and get off to them? And I thought, this would be a given. Obviously, you're the asshole. And so many people were like, not the asshole. So I found that really interesting. I loved it. I love seeing what the general population thought. By the way, for that one, majority of people did say, yeah, you're the asshole for doing that. But there was at least 20 people that thought you're not the asshole for keeping and looking at your ex's nudes. So yeah, interesting. And one of the ones that was the most controversial for men, was I had a woman message me, and I'm just going off the top of my head, so this isn't verbatim, but she essentially said, am I the asshole for, leaving a relationship or wanting to leave a relationship with my boyfriend who is basically perfect, great, fantastic relationship. Really good guy. However, the attraction just isn't there, or there's something missing. So yeah, will I be the asshole for leaving a good guy, essentially? And most people did vote, you're not the asshole. The people that voted, yes, you are the asshole, were all men. And I had a lot of messages about it being like, do you see how hard it is for us? And, do you understand like, this is like such a common thing where we just get ghosted, we get left, and then this whole like, you know, that good guy kind of narrative comes up again, and which I'm not saying is unjustified in this situation, of course. It's confusing and feels unfair. And it seemed to like kind of hit a soft spot for a lot of people, well, a lot of men. So I did think that was quite interesting, and I had a conversation with one guy about it, and I told him, and he was really like, it definitely, I think, hit home for him because it was an experience that he had absolutely gone through a couple, maybe multiple times. And he kept being like, I'm sorry, like for talking about it, like sounding negative or whatever. And I was like, don't be sorry. I'm going to literally take this and do a podcast on it. So thank you. And I will be able to unpack it in more than my next, you know, 3 messages on Instagram replies. So here we are. This one's for you, you know who you are. But yes, why is it that people leave good relationships or dates that seem to be going really well and they just abandon it, and then they say things like, it wasn't you, it was me, or like not say anything at all and you get ghosted, or you're a really good guy and blah, blah, blah. And even though I said I wouldn't talk about my clients, the only thing I would say in this situation that's something that is common for my clients to experience, and not just my current clients but previous clients over years of work, is the excuse of, you know, that cliche, it's not you, it's me, or I really just need to work on myself, or I've got mental health concerns I need to work through, or I really just need to like sort my shit out, seems to be a really, really common excuse and reason for ending things. I need to work on myself. And then my clients and friends and peers or whatever that have gone through this are like, can you not work on yourself whilst in a relationship? Like, why does that mean we have to end? It doesn't make sense to them, essentially. They're not connecting to that reason. And they're wondering, like, is that the real reason? Like, obviously they take them at their word, they try to, but they can't help but feel in a certain way about it, thinking, is that a genuine reason, or is there more there? So we are going to unpack that. And obviously I'm not a mind reader. I like to think I am a little bit, but I can't determine with 100% fact on the real reasons why people may have ended relationships or bailed on dates with you. But I'm going to give you a list of reasons, and I want to give you a list so that you can consider what might be applying to you, what patterns might be present for you, or giving you another insight into someone else's experience and why they might have rejected you out of the blue, which seemingly made no sense for you at the time. So the first one I'll go to, I know I talk a lot about you know, not like a, not encouraging people to not subscribe entirely into their attachment style if you're aware of what your attachment style is. So I don't often delve too deep into talking about like avoidant attachment, anxious attachment, secure attachment. Perhaps I will one day, again, because it seems to be something that my clients and like following really, really enjoy learning about, because obviously we like learning about things that make sense to us. The reason why I don't delve into it so much is that people can really learn to identify a lot with their attachment style, and they will do things and be like, sorry, you know, I didn't, I messaged you 480 times this, you know, this weekend while you were away. It's because I'm anxiously attached or whatever, and use that as a reason or an excuse to conduct inappropriately within relationships. Whereas really, let's not go to say, okay, you have an anxious attachment, which you very well may, but that's not really the issue. The issue is, one, what are you doing to heal that? How are you processing that? And two, the issue is you sent 476 messages over a weekend. And that is the issue. There is that inappropriate boundaries within your relationship, rather than being like, it minimizes it, I think, at times to say, well, I'm anxiously attached. So sorry. It is a very real thing though. I will say that. I don't mean to dismiss that. I know that it is absolutely 100% real. I've worked a lot in, I know a lot about attachment disorders, working with children that enter foster care and things like that. So we can absolutely see what attachment styles are present in these children. It is blaringly obvious in these scenarios because of the high levels of extreme, like complex trauma that they've experienced. So it's not so subtle as it is for most people. And not everyone falls into an attachment style. And the last thing I'll say on this, the reason why I don't harp on about attachment styles, is because you can have and experience attachment tendencies within certain relationships or situations. So a lot of people say, like, you know, you have a anxious, avoidant, or disorganized attachment style due to childhood trauma. However, you can develop these tendencies or even develop this attachment style due to relationship issues or relational trauma, or you can just have tendencies present in one relationship. And an example of this might be like, I once had a boyfriend who was very lovely, but he was quite emotionally distant. Maybe he was avoidant. and he wasn't very like forthcoming with his emotions. He wasn't very like warmth, nurturing, comforting person, but he was a beautiful guy, great personality, really funny, good to get along with. We'd been friends for years before we started dating. And we were just best buds. And anyway, he was a scientist, and which I found really endearing. He loved like reptiles and like fossils and those kind of things. And he would go on these trips for weeks and weeks and weeks in like the outback. The outback. Doing like scientific research or whatever. And then he might be like, I'm back in 2 weeks, can't wait. And then 2 weeks will pass where I haven't spoken to him. Obviously, I knew that I can't speak to him. There's no connection out there. That I don't even know if they have their phones or whatever. And they're camping. And then sometimes it would get extended to a third week, but I wouldn't know. And then I would start stressing. I would start really getting nervous. And then also thinking, okay, my boyfriend is, that boyfriend at the time, is camping in the bush for close to a month with a professor and one other girl. He's probably bonding with her so much on the reptile. They're probably like looking at snakes together. And like, that was like the first and truest time that I felt genuine jealousy, even though he had not crossed ever a single boundary of mine. And he was always respectful, always very like, there was never any warning signs. And I didn't punish him for it, but I absolutely developed some temporary anxious attachment style tendencies where I became more, like, much more clingy for his validation. I desperately yearned for attention from him and validation from him. I noticed things of, like, insecurities coming up and things like that a lot more that I'd never experienced within relationships. This is a relationship I had when I was literally, like, it was, like, 19 to 21. So I was really young. And yeah, so basically what I'm getting at is certain behaviors that other people can do in your relationship can induce attachment style tendencies. Another example could be if you have someone that is, let's say, not treating you well, they're consistently being flaky, they're lying, they're whatever, and for whatever reason, you're not leaving this relationship, but instead, all of a sudden, after the third, fourth, fifth, sixth time you've been cheated on, betrayed or let down or whatever, you just start shutting down. And you're like, you know what? I actually don't want to listen to your bullshit excuse. I don't want to listen to you whining and crying. I'm not going to have this big meltdown. I'm just going to go eat my dinner, wake up tomorrow and go about my day. And then you have accidentally developed avoidant attachment tendencies because you don't want to discuss it anymore. You don't want to be emotionally vulnerable anymore. You're shutting down completely, but that is because of someone else's action. So anyway, this is literally nothing about what this podcast is about. Sorry. I'm not going to edit that out, but I just dropped something. It smashed everywhere. That's all right. But yeah, basically that was a very long-winded way of me to getting to my first point, that a reason why you may have got abandoned or left or ghosted or breadcrumbed or whatever is because of someone with an avoidant attachment style. And what I have seen happen on a few occasions with clients, friends and peers or whatever, is that someone with an avoidant, and I've seen it on both sides, as in someone that's been left and the person with the attachment style, leave and sabotage a relationship because all of a sudden they're like, you know, my biggest fear or my biggest resistance subconsciously is, my biggest fear and my biggest resistance is emotional intimacy and emotional closeness. So when you have that avoidant attachment style and all of a sudden your relationship is becoming real, or perhaps you're progressing to the next step, whether it be engagement or marriage or even just girlfriend and boyfriend exclusivity, that these people sometimes on occasion may self-sabotage because they would rather keep themselves emotionally distant then open themselves up to the vulnerability of opening their heart and sharing their heart and being at risk of being hurt. So the thing about this is that a lot of people, I think the people that tend to listen to my podcast and, you know, clients that I gauge are interested in self-development. So they've already got a pretty like solid understanding of some of these concepts and of themselves. However, a lot of our population, in fact, majority of the population, don't know that they may have these attachment styles. They don't know that they have the sabotage cycle. They don't know that they're avoidant and this is the pattern that they're repeating. All they know is like, oh, they might like reduce it to, I don't know why I keep getting the ick 6 months into every relationship I enter. I'm just going to enter another one and hope it's the one. Or they might reduce it to like a, it's clearly not a soulmate connection because this is, you know, my body wouldn't feel like this. They have that disconnect, that lack of understanding, the lack of education around these things, which can impact this. So that is one example of why you may have been left. Another one could be when people are out of touch with their emotions and they don't presently feel, recognize or acknowledge their emotions. And this is really, really common. Especially more so in men. Like I'm working with a lot of men on connecting with how they actually feel. Like I might ask a question when something like happened, like, oh, let's say my boss had a go at me. This isn't a real example, it's just me making something up. And I'll be like, oh, how did you feel about that? And they'll say, oh, it's just absolute bullshit because I've been doing so much work. Like I've helped this company, I've built it like ground up, and then I'll be like, okay, but like, how do you, like, genuinely, how do you feel? Like, what is the emotion that is present when you have this conversation with your boss? And then they'll be like, it made no sense. And I'm like, you're not answering my question. You're not, like, it's just that kind of hesitation. They're feeling frustration. They're feeling anger. And sometimes that's as deep as people can get to understand. Like, I'm pissed off because of this and I'm raging on it. But really, the emotion beneath that could be betrayal. It could be disappointment. It could be letdown. It could be abandonment wounds coming forward, all these kind of things that some people don't recognize. And we don't heal from these patterns until we learn to recognize and acknowledge them. So if that resonates with you and you're not connecting with your emotions, I highly, highly recommend you get someone that can support you and teach you how to do this. Because sometimes for a lot of people, based on our histories, our trauma background, our attachment, our upbringing, our relationship experiences, experiences we had with peers when we were young, just society, culture, our ethnicities, all of these things basically may impact whether or not we are or have the capacity to connect with our emotions. And a lot of these things are more that factors that are present are the more barriers there are in helping you connect to your emotions. And things that may seem seemingly obvious to some are very difficult for others. Like, I was actually just talking about this with a client like half an hour ago. And we were talking about people that have cultural upbringings and are from certain ethnicities. And when I work with them on putting boundaries in place, like, I'll be like, okay, you know, you're a 31-year-old man. You can stop sharing your location with your mother. You don't have to, she doesn't have to be privileged to every single information about you and where you're like your location and all these things and what your salary is and where you work, all these things. She doesn't have to know these things. And then my clients will be like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, I cannot put that boundary in. It is not worth that battle. Trust me. Like, it's just, I'll just let her have it and I'm going to learn to cope with the frustration of it rather than implementing like the barrier. And initially it was something like, you know, years ago when this would come up for me, and I'd be like, come on, like, this is an obvious solution. Like, there's a lack of boundaries here. There's a lack of respect for your physical boundaries, your emotional boundaries, all these things. There's the gaslighting, the manipulation on like, if you don't do this, like, I'll be so sad and worried and I'll be thinking all day that you've had a car crash, like those kind of things. But I had to really learn to reframe the way I think about this and recognize that these people have grown up in an environment where they have consistently been taught and almost like a cult, you know, similar to how a cult works, indoctrinated into thinking this is the way a family unit functions. This is the way you show respect to your parents and your family. And this is how you're supposed to be as a child, even if you're a 45-year-old child to a parent. This is what you're supposed to do. And a lot of it is about relearning these things. And it's not just like, okay, put that boundary in place and then, you know, off you go, life sorted. But it's about relearning the narratives that we have around that, our understanding of that, kind of going back to the source of it, for example, as well. So anyway, gosh, I should just be getting to the point a bit faster. I've been going on so many tangents already. But I hope that makes a little bit of sense as well. So basically, she may be, for whatever reason, out of touch, or he, with her emotions. And she may not even realize what it is or why it is that she has a feeling that she needs to end this relationship. And sometimes that's one of those things that come with retrospection and reflecting, and you're like, okay, now that 3 months have passed, I realize that the reason was because of like, you know, major incompatibilities or whatever, but I was too embarrassed to say it on date two, we're not going to be compatible because of this. This actually happened to me when I dated a guy once, and he was really lovely, We got along really well. We got on like two, maybe three dates, and we had a great connection, really good banter, and things like that. And I think that like I could tell he really liked me. He was showing me a lot of effort, really eager. But also, we had a huge incompatibility, and that was that he was a huge party boy. He was a massive part of his identity. He was out with the boys every Friday, every Saturday night, partying, doing drugs, all these kind of things. And I was like, I will never be a part of that lifestyle. It's not attractive to me. It's not attractive for me to engage in that, but it's also not attractive to me, for my partners to engage in that. And I don't want to be in a situation where I'm like punishing my potential future partner for going out and doing something that I literally knew he was engaging in prior to us even dating. And deciding, you know, 6 months down the track, actually, now that we're in a solid relationship, I'd no longer like this behavior. You need to change it immediately, which is, you know, sometimes justified. But when this is just like something like all he would talk about is these positive memories and experiences he was having. And I was like, I can see there's an incompatibility here. I don't think we should progress because I don't want to hold someone back and be like, hey, you know, we're a month into dating or 3 weeks into dating, I think you should stop partying and doing drugs. That just didn't feel right to me. He can live his life however he wants, but I want someone that lives a life in alignment to like my values, my goals, my whatever. So I told him like, hey, like, I think there's like, you know, I really like you. I think you're like a really cool guy. And I was getting the feeling, the vibe he had feelings for me. And I was like, I think though, it's not going to progress further than that. I don't think we should progress this further from here. I think there's some incompatibilities and kind of thing. And he was like, I'm so sad to hear this. Like, what are the incompatibilities? Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm kind of shocked. Like, I thought we were getting along really well. And I was like, we do. Like, I've had so much fun, but I think, you know, like it's kind of this incompatibility of our lifestyles are really different. And the way like we want to spend our weekends and spend time are really, really different. And I just know like I don't want this to be something that builds resentment. And I want you to live life like the way that you want to live it. And yeah, I just don't vibe with that kind of like, you know, party and drug lifestyle. I never have, never got into that, blah, blah, blah. And he was it's like, Eliza, we're like 3 dates in, like relax. And I was like, we don't need to end it. Like just chill out. And it was funny because, you know, I'm always encouraging people to say like, you can have these conversations first dates in or second date in or whatever. And, you know, determine whether or not you are compatible. And he responded like I was being so fucking crazy because I was talking about the future. But then at the same time, he was like, you know, it's only been a few dates. We'll just sort this out like in the future. But yeah, you're right. Like it's not something I'm even willing to change. And I'm like, well, I appreciate you saying that and not bullshitting me and being like, I'll give that up because one, that wouldn't feel right if you did that. But two, you know, it's good to be honest about it and say that this is an important part of your lifestyle and you deserve someone that is like, hell yeah, let's go party, like let's go dancing and is out there with you. So yeah, it was like I felt like a little bit embarrassed at the time that I had said it and he made me out to be like feeling like, okay, that's a bit wild. But also I have noticed more so with men and the men I work with, and a lot of this is going to be coming up as well in my workshop with Matt, which I'll talk about in a little bit. But in the conversations I've had with men that are interested in that workshop and with my clients talking about these things is that many of them don't have requirements or like preconceived standards to what they would expect in a relationship. So for example, they may know that they want children. They may know that they want a house or that they want to live overseas or whatever. So when I say like, let's talk about like, what are your expectations from someone in a relationship? What are the standards? What are your yeses and what are your nos? Thinking that they will say, okay, well, I need someone, you know, if having children is extremely important to me or having marriage, I want someone that also wants those things. Or if I'm going to go move overseas and live in Spain, I want someone that is open to that. But they don't say this. So often my clients are like, no, I will be open to anything. And then, you know, when those incompatibilities come up, just deal with it then. And then what happens, you know, 6 months, 12 months, 2 years later, 3 years later, I'm hearing my friends, peers, clients, internet saying like, okay, my partner really wants a baby and I don't, but I've made that clear from the get-go. And now we're like in a relationship together. We've bought a house together. We have a dog together, but we're thinking like, what do we do? And that's why I say have these conversations at the start, in my opinion. But I do find it interesting that a lot of people are like, that's not important. You can sort that out. A lot of men, I mean, say we can figure this out months into our relationship. And I think that there are a few reasons for that. I love the open-mindedness. I love the like, let's see how it goes type of attitude. But also I think sometimes for these particular people that have this, they're really not desperate, but they are deeply seeking and yearning for love and connection, that they're like, not I'll take what I can get, but they're open to overlook things because they want that relationship. They want that closeness. They want that intimacy. So they're like, look, like this far outweighs the cons. We can deal with that in the future. Whereas my point is deal with it now so that when you don't have this emotional or, you know, this huge investment into this person, it's going to be way harder to deal with back then. I actually saw this post on Reddit a couple of days ago. I can't remember what subreddit it was in, sorry. But she was saying, I think it might have just been the text subreddit where people like upload photos of their text, or maybe it was the Tinder one, but it was a woman and she was saying, this is why I ask people before our first date what their views are. And everyone's told me I'm crazy for doing this, but this is why. And basically she had arranged a date, whether it's their first date or second date, but she's arranged a date with a guy and she messaged him being like, hey, before our date, I just want to know, like, what are your views on like a woman's role in a relationship? What are your views on women having like opinions? What are your views on pregnancy and abortion and how you support your partner? Like these are things, or like, and also what are your views on like, maybe I think it was like the LGBTI community, for example, like these things are really important to me. I'm just curious what your views are. And then this guy had this, sent this fucking essay about how it's a man's duty to protect and serve as woman, and you know, women shouldn't do this, women shouldn't do that, and blah blah blah. And she was saying, well, thank fucking God I kind of gave him my checklist before our first date and wasted both our times or a tense conversation in person. I'm really glad I did it. And then a lot of people were in the comments being like, shit, this has been the first time I've actually been convinced on sharing and opening up about why what's important to me and like whether or not that clashes. So I have seen on both sides, like obviously this person was glad to do that, but I also have known a beautiful, stunning woman who does this quite frequently where she will lay out all of her expectations on the table before, like within a couple of conversations, like I expect for you to respect me. I expect this. I expect, you know, you to contribute equally to conversations. And then she scares these guys off because she sent this huge list. And I'm like, there's a specific way to assert and share your needs, boundaries, and expectations. And this is what Matt and I'll be working on in our workshop upcoming as well, about like, how do you navigate that conversation? And also helping men to identify what are your needs, expectations, boundaries in a relationship, because let's not just keep going on saying, I will take anything I get, or I just want a connection. And then 3 months, that connection is ending because of these incompatibilities. But then it further perpetuates the cycle that they're going through of no woman wants me, all women reject me, and I can't seem to sustain a relationship. But if you had known and discussed and shared these boundaries and expectations at the beginning of your relationship or on your first or second date, you wouldn't have continued 3 months down a track to then determine this incompatibility. So this is a cycle I see happen so frequently, and it's really, really hard because then these men are getting more and more evidence that all women abandon me 1, 2, 3 months into dating, and I don't know why, because we were getting along so well. There are reasons why, and there are reasons, there are ways we can navigate this as well. So I definitely think if that resonates with you, I really think that you should consider learning about this or join our workshop. There's nothing you will get other than value out of this, truly. Okay, moving on. Another big reason why, or let's not say big reason, another reason why you may have been left is maybe you did do something, okay? Maybe you were fucking too clingy. Maybe you were aggressive. Maybe you have, you know, views that weren't ideal. Maybe you don't have the emotional depth someone was looking for. All of these kind of things that come up in a relationship that aren't often shared when there is a breakup. And like, for example, my client was telling me recently about a family member of his broke up with their partner because, and one of the major reasons was because there was an intellectual disconnect and they felt that their partner couldn't engage in conversations. They couldn't have like deep and meaningful. It was all very simple, very surface level. And this partner was dissatisfied with it. And it had me thinking about, you know, when these things come up, how do you, is it worth telling someone, hey, I think you're, you know, intellectually we're unmatched, or I don't like the way you contribute to conversations, or you're just not that deep. Like, that would shatter someone. That would truly be a extremely confronting and hurtful conversation to have. So in that case, sometimes you can understand, not saying it's right, but sometimes you can understand why people are like, I don't want to give them the real reason why I'm breaking up with them. I'd rather just say it's me, or I'm going through something, or I've got mental health issues, or I need to find myself, I need to explore, or whatever. I'm just too stressed to prioritize a relationship. So yeah, I think it makes sense at times. Not that it's right, but it does make sense. Another reason why people don't share when you've done something is for safety reasons. And I've spoken about this a lot back in the day with Neil. And this is something that many, many men in particular don't understand. And also, I have worked with and currently working with men that have been, you know, very intensely abused by women, like partners, dating, whatever, and have experienced abuse. So this isn't just a one-way street. However, there is something, a common experience that many women that are dating have experienced when it comes to men, and that is being met with volatility, aggression, and violence. And I have lost count of the amount of times that that happened to me in my dating experience as well, being physically assaulted, harassed, literally stalked multiple times with police involvement, and extreme abuse for rejecting someone that I may have only met once or maybe never even met. So some women want to protect, fairly so, their safety and are like, I can't share this. I don't want to. And you may be thinking like, well, she should know I'm a good guy. She's been on two dates with me. Blah, 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 blah. We do not know how anyone reacts. And there is one thing that I think a lot of women have learned is it's not like these guys that are aggressive and volatile that you go on these dates with. You know, they're not like super jacked up guys with muscles and mullets. Like they look like everyday standard guys that are nice and kind until you trigger them, until their ego is hurt. And then it becomes abusive. And I spoke about this example once, which just pops the head for me, where I once told I matched with a guy on Tinder, had like less than 5 minutes of conversation. I think it was like 8 back and forth messages, very like surface level, like, how's your day? What have you been up to? Blah, blah, blah. Literally within a few minutes, he said, let me take you on a date. And then I kind of looked at his profile. I saw that he was like really, like he was a personal trainer, really into like fitness. He was like, don't like lazy people, blah, blah, blah. I don't know why I hadn't even read his profile. And I was like, okay, we are not going to get along. Like, this is not something I prioritize. And I love being lazy at times. So I could just tell. And I also kind of was a little bit turned off by that as well. I basically lost interest. We'd only been a few minutes. And I instead of ghosting, I could have just not replied to his message saying, let's get a drink, because we've been a few minutes in. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to just tell him, like, hey, thanks for the offer. I've changed my mind. I'm sorry. I'm not interested. So I did that. Holy fucking shit. The amount of abuse I caught from this man was absolutely insane. It was days upon days upon days of fake Instagram accounts, fake Facebook accounts, adding me, harassing me, setting me collages that he had made of all my ex-boyfriends, being like, look at these fucking weenie little like worthless piece of shits, and look at me, like, how dare you reject me. Threats to my safety, sexual harassment. He was sending me homemade like porn videos of him sleeping with other women, obviously shared without consent, very like aggressive sex videos, being like, look at what you're missing out on, look at this monster cock, like all this like fucking shit. And then I would block, delete, and then I just get more and more and more, and it went on for so long. It was insane. So I understand when women are like, yeah, I'm not gonna give every single guy an explanation sometimes, especially when you haven't even met, for why this happens, or why I'm not going to date them or whatever. And this has been something that's been, I don't know if you guys are on TikTok, you would have seen probably recently a trend that's been around the last couple of days, where people are asking, basically someone went around like the city and interviewed a whole shitload of women and said, would you rather be stuck alone in the forest with a man or a bear? And basically all women said, I'll be stuck with a bear, please. I know that this is a really uncomfortable conversation to hear as men, and this isn't turning into like a feminist rant kind of thing, but I want you to understand this as well, that it's obviously not all men, but it is all women that statistically, almost all women that have endured abuse and harassment. And when it comes to dating in particular, it is an extremely vulnerable position for a lot of people to be in. So anyway, this video about the man versus bear going around, and a lot of men are getting defensive about it, saying like, what the fuck? Like, as if you'd pick a bear, like, stop fucking lying and this and that. And, you know, and then they started asking men that had daughters and said, would you rather put your daughter in the forest with a bear or a man? And then those men were saying, yeah, but I'll pick a bear, or alternatively being like, I can't decide. I genuinely don't know what I would do. Like, this is so hard. Like, what's safer? Like, how far away is the bear? But who is the man? It could just be a nice everyday guy, like, blah, blah, blah. And then they would ask the question a second time, being like, would you rather put your daughter in the forest with a man, with a woman or a bear? And immediately, woman. Like, this is like the patriarchal privilege or male privilege that men sometimes don't understand, that women feel and experience threatening behavior so frequently. And I was talking about this recently with someone, and he said to me, let's be honest, like, though, Eliza, like, you know, you've talked about, like, you know, you've been stalked, harassed, whatever, you've gone to police, you've had university involvement, this happened to you a few times, but like, yeah, like, that would have been years ago. Like, when was the last time it happened? And I was like, I got stalked 2 weeks ago. I literally got stalked 2 weeks ago from a man who followed me from a cafe a kilometer away from my appointment that I went into, because I got there an hour early and I thought I'd do a little walk. But like, I mean, I'm pregnant, so it's a really tiny walk, like 1 kilometer. But I went to a cafe, a man came, sat at my table, stared at me extremely scarily, and he would not stop looking at me. So I said, can I get this to go? Got it up, packed it up, left. No one intervened, of course. I felt vulnerable. I'm sitting here 6 months pregnant. I didn't want to like confront him. You feel really vulnerable as a woman, let alone a pregnant woman, let me tell you. And then he followed me out of the cafe, followed me walking, went into the shopping center, following me around there as well. Eventually, I lost him. My appointment time came around like 40 minutes later. I'm sitting in the ultrasound clinic, and then I see him, this man, come to the glass doors outside. So this, it's like a clinic that faces the street, the sidewalk, and he's standing at it, and he's just literally looking through the glass, staring at me. And everyone inside the clinic turns to look at me, and then I'm looking around at them, and I'm like, okay, it's me, one young receptionist, and four men or women, like four people around me that are older than the age of 80. Like, who the fuck is going to protect me here in this situation? Then as he's staring at me, he kneels down, opens his bag, just looking at me so intensely, and I was thinking, holy fuck, he's getting a knife out, like, and everyone's like looking on edge, and I get my laptop out to hold it in front of my stomach in case he stabs me. It's not funny, it's kind of fucked up. This is what I was thinking, like, I'm about to get stabbed, and no one here is going to intervene. I'm going to have to really fight for myself here. And he gets something out of his bag, he holds it under his jumper, then he walks into the ultrasound clinic, gets himself a glass of water from like a glass, like those bubbler things, water cooler, and then comes up to me, stands right in front of me and drops a dead flower on my lap and says, this is for you, like a rotten brown flower, and then walked out and left. And that was it. And everyone was like, did you know him? Are you okay? And I was like, I'm fine. I don't know who that was. That was a bit odd. Laughed it off. But this is just an experience that happens so fucking frequently. It's insane. It is absolutely insane. And I know that as a man, when you get rejected or ghosted, it fucking hurts. It sucks. But if it is early on in your relationship, like as in you don't have a relationship and you've been on one date or you haven't had any dates, please understand that this is a very real thing that women go through and experience. And if it's, you know, you've been together for a while, it's different. Then they owe you an explanation, ideally. Not that, when I say they owe you an explanation, I don't mean go and get one if you haven't got one. I mean, it would have been appropriate to have an explanation. But I just want to provide that context that it is something that is present. And I know that when I talk about these things, sometimes I get a lot of messages of people responding negatively to this and feeling like really defensive and angry that I brought it up, talking about men in this way. But this is just the reality of, especially women in Australia, there's a lot of rates of domestic violence, women being murdered, like there's all this stuff coming out currently, like this year alone, or the last couple of months, there's been like 25 women murdered at the hands of men in Australia, and it's a huge, huge issue. So I am not out here saying all men are abusive, all men are like violent and bad people. No, I work with men. Almost all my clients are men. Almost all the people I talk to are men. And every single one of my clients, I would absolutely trust with my child. I would trust like being in a room with them alone. I think they're all genuinely really beautiful, lovely, kind men that I wholeheartedly trust. And obviously that provides a lot of evidence to it. But that being said, almost all of the experiences of violence and harassment I have endured and many women have endured have been at the hands of men. So it's just two truths that can exist at the same time and something that causes us to be conscious about it. If you had a role, if you went on a roller coaster one time, say, and that roller coaster shut down and you got stuck on that roller coaster, there's a very good chance that you're going to be fearful of roller coasters or you're going to be nervous about roller coasters again or you may not want to go on roller coasters again. Do you know what I mean? Or imagine if everyone you knew that had gone on a roller coaster of one gender was like, oh, yeah, don't go on that one. I know like 10 different people that have snapped their ankle on that one. You probably hesitate to do it. So anyway, sorry. This I'm really in a tangent mood. Don't hate me. Okay, so another reason why you may have been abandoned, rejected, left, for example, is maybe you just had a lack of an emotional connection. So despite having extremely high compatibility on paper, the emotional connection between two people needs to be strong enough in order to stay in a relationship. So when you don't have a solid emotional connection, you may feel a sense of emptiness or you just have that feeling that something is missing. And that's what I meant before when you you may be out of touch with your emotions, or you can't actually pinpoint what it is, but it is just that emotional intimacy and that emotional bond that you think, okay, this would be obvious. We have the same political views, we have the same views on this, blah, 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 blah. Surely that would be deeply emotionally connected. No, just doesn't happen. You know, like in this, it's just a way of life. Okay. Similar to my other point about maybe it was you and maybe you did do something that pissed someone off, maybe they have left because they had unmet needs or expectations. So even in a really good and solid relationship, if one or both partners feel like their needs aren't being met or expectations aren't being fulfilled, it creates dissatisfaction, resentment, and can ultimately lead to a breakup. So think about what these needs may be, and sometimes it could be as simple. It may not be a deep need of like comfort and security or laughter and banter. Sometimes it could be a sexual need as well. Like I've had women say, you know, I'm ending it with this guy because all of our sexual interactions are focused on him. I literally get zero attention, zero focus. And I talked about this with Matt on one of our recent podcasts together a few episodes back, where we were talking about whether or not a virgin should tell a woman that he is a virgin. And Matt was saying, like, I wouldn't necessarily lie about it. If you're asked, share it, or if you want to share it, share it. However, I don't think you need to be forefront with this like information, and I mean forthcoming, sorry, with this information. And I was like, this is a really good point, and I agree. However, something that often happens with men that are sexually inexperienced is that they kind of go with the motion and they go with the stock standard and they're getting off, and sometimes it feels like it's a selfish sexual interaction because they actually just don't know, or they're nervous about exploring, you know, lady parts. God, how cringe that I said that. Lady parts. I hope those words never come out of my mouth again. But yeah, maybe they have hesitation or nerves about exploring the female body, or another male's body, or whatever, whoever's body. Maybe there is anxiety around that and nervousness, and they're like, how do I do it? Like, where is it? Where's the clit? What's the G-spot? Like all these kind of things. And they're like, okay, I'm just gonna, you know, put my dick in, go really fast, and hope it hits gold. And then a woman's like, literally just used me as a sex toy, then rolled off me, and that was it. Like, I'm not seeing this guy again. So in that case, I'm like, maybe it is worthwhile sometimes expressing, you know, you're learning, you want to experience these things together. You want to learn about these things. You want to know how to please, or you want to know what really gets her going or them going, and turn them on, for example. So yeah, I think that's just a little interesting side note. Yeah, mismatch values and goals obviously is another obvious one. You might have fundamentally different values, life goals, basically compatibility, visions for the future. And sometimes a big one I see as well is when I put this on my recent Instagram post, and it was like 10 ways to lose a girl that Matt and I did together. And basically one of the points was, when you lack ambition or direction for your future, this can be a turnoff, because people tend to fantasize about and envision what would your relationship look like in the future. And they want to imagine those things together, like, oh, well, maybe there's potential. And if you're someone that doesn't know what they want, you don't have your shit together, you don't even know where you're heading in life, what you're doing in life, like, do I want kids, do I want how, blah, blah, blah. That's okay to not be sure about these things, but you also don't know where you want to leave. You also don't know what your career is going to be. Those kind of things are turn-offs, and they're not going to be working in your favor. So you can kind of soften it by talking about things that you're really passionate about and goals for the future. But people will automatically start to envision, you know, inevitably after some time, whether it be one date, 3 dates, 10 dates, what a future together would look like. Okay, loss of attraction. There are so many reasons why a loss of attraction can occur. I do not have the time. Maybe that's actually a really good podcast for me to do next time or soon. There are so many reasons why a loss of attraction can occur. It can be those things like the mismatch values, incompatibility, communication issues, you know, intimacy issues, it could be hormones, medication, so many things that are present within your relationship that often it's deeper than what you immediately think. I actually saw a post about this on Reddit where this last night where a woman was saying she has been with her guy, it's been years that they've been together, never had an issue, beautiful relationship, but all of a sudden she wants to break up with him because she has lost every ounce of sexual attraction to him. She doesn't want to touch him. She doesn't want to be near him. And people in the comments, like, thank God she posted to Reddit. And people in the comments were like, have you had any medication changes? Blah, blah, blah. She had started Lexapro, an SSRI, like an antidepressant, 3 weeks prior, which almost certainly lined up with when she lost her libido and attraction. So she was able to be like, okay, I'll go back to a doctor. I'll talk about these things. By the way, don't let that turn you off antidepressants. This only happens to some people, and there are ways that you can change your medication, the dosage, what the type of medication, the brand, all these things. There's so many different things. So do not let that turn you off medication if you are currently medicated. But this is something that can prop up. I was glad, like, thank God she posted on Reddit. This is why, like, when people message me about these things, which surprisingly happens all the time, I always respond. One thing I've been getting recently is I've had, like, 4 men message me about, sexual dysfunctions, erectile issues, inability to reach orgasm and completion, things like that. Discovering like, okay, well, let's look at your lifestyle factors. What medications are you on? What is your porn usage? How is your self-esteem? What is your health like? Are you looking after yourself? Are you getting sleep? Like, have you had your testosterone levels checked? There's so many factors to consider. And are you emotionally satisfied in your relationship too? Like all these kind of things. So yeah, there is a lot there, basically. So another reason why you may have been up and abandoned is communication issues or just a difference in communication. So there could be a lack of communication, there could be conflict cycles, and some people hold a lot of weight to conflict and other people hold no weight to conflict. So I am someone that tends to hold more weight on conflict because it is so extremely rare in my relationship. Like I would say Adrian and I have had in 4 years, we've had less than like 2 arguments ever. And they were like things that were sorted in half an hour. Some people, so for when we, which, you know, sounds great, but then when there is a problem, it feels really big. It feels really, really serious because it's not something we're used to. Whereas other people in relationships may fight literally every fucking day and that's just the norm to them. So then imagine if I get in a relationship with one of those people and he's thinking, this is just how couples process. This is normal. Like, yeah, we'll just fight it out. We'll just get it all out. We'll just talk about it. And then I'm here thinking, like, no, there are fundamental differences within our communication or our values or our compatibility that are causing us to clash that we need to address. Like, it's really, really serious, blah, blah, blah. So you can have different ideas on what conflict is healthy and whether it's appropriate and all these kind of things. It just happens in relationships. Not everyone aligns perfectly with the way they communicate, of course. In fact, it almost never aligns perfectly. It's about meeting each other where they're at and compromising to meet their needs and them compromising to meet your needs as well. So, yeah, very interesting. And finally, I will finish on, because I'm reaching an hour now, I'll finish on like external factors. Genuinely, like we do say these things as an excuse, but genuinely sometimes they do come up. Like, yeah, maybe they are just really fucking stressed. Maybe they have a career change. Maybe there are like intense family dynamics that they're trying to manage or health issues, or they do need to sort their shit out, or they do have mental health issues and they are like, okay, I just have to consider like, what are my priorities? What are my commitments? Like, what can I actually pour my energy into? Is a relationship for me sustainable right now? Basically, in a nutshell, the way I want to summarize this, I might have to do a part 2 on how to deal with the rejection because I wanted to get into that today, but I feel like I need more time. But basically, everyone experiences rejection at some point, but some people hold a lot of value and weight to it and other people kind of let it roll off it. It never feels good for anyone, especially when you're emotionally invested. And another factor is as well, some people tend to be extremely emotionally invested very early on, whereas others are like 2 years in and they're like, okay, now you could be my girlfriend kind of thing. There's such a spectrum of that. everyone experiences rejection, but I think the lesson to learn is rejection is not usually a reflection on you. It is not about you, because someone else's decision is us as a couple isn't functioning the way I want it to or would want it to. It becomes a reflection on you when you are getting the same feedback or same experience over and over and over again, then there is something there that needs to be addressed. So when I, you know, these guys reach out to me and they're like, it's like clockwork. 3, 4, 5 dates in, every single woman stops seeing me. Women don't desire me. Women don't want me. Or then in turn, they have negative views of women. And I'm like, if there is a significant pattern that has happened more than 5 times, there is something that you are doing that is either sabotaging your relationship unintentionally, whether it be an energy you're bringing forward, whether it be clinginess, whether it be something that's very tangible and overt and obvious, like abusive language, controlling behavior or whatever, or sometimes it is very subtle and it's hard to recognize. What could that be? Maybe it's the victimhood mentality or the self-defeated attitude that you have, like, you're too good for me, like people thinking that's a compliment. I have had a partner once, bless his soul, but it got draining very soon, very fast, constantly him telling me, like, you're way too good for me. You are, Eliza, you are miles above, like, what I deserve. And eventually I was like, it confused me, because I was like, are you a bad person? Because to me, you're perfect. Like, I'm so confused why you think so badly about yourself. And am I missing something? Am I not picking something up? Like, are there aspects of you that I shouldn't be trusting? It literally got in my head, because he would go on and on and on about how I'm so much better for him and he doesn't deserve someone like me. Sorry. Oh my God. Like me. This was years ago before I learned about all these things, when I was in my early 20s. So yeah, I think there are times where it could be you. So recognize, do these patterns exist for you? And if they do exist for you, if you can't recognize the pattern, get help. And this is why Matt and I, we talk about this a lot. We meet every week to talk about our workshop and plan and do all these things. And, you know, Matt will sometimes ask his clients to present actual text conversations or interactions that they're having with the people they're interested in dating, so he can see what it is that may be lacking or missing, or, you know, sabotaging or turning people off. Because in his, sometimes he says, you know, like, and I've said this too, when we can present a certain way or come across being like, I've been nothing but like lovely, charming, inquisitive, curious, all the things you should be, and yet every single time I'm having the same result. And until you see the text messages, then you can see actually what's happening. So this has happened to me a few times with clients as well, where I see text messages and I get a lot more insight as well, because, and it's not that they're lying, saying I've been all these things, because that's the general, like, that's how they perceive their text messages to be: curious, inquisitive, polite, charming. But to someone else, you're like, hang on, when you send 10 back-to-back text messages, or when you're saying, like, you know, like I said before, like, you're so much better than me, like, it's not actually having the positive impact that you're hoping to have. So having someone to identify that with you, if you cannot identify that in yourself, and sometimes it's more than just what you say and how you interact, sometimes it's literally the energy, the way you feel about yourself becomes, you know, we interpret and perceive the way you feel about yourself. So if you're on a date, say you're on a date with me and I'm sitting across from you and I'm saying, like, life fucking sucks for me. Like, you know, I've failed at everything in my life and opportunities never, like, work for me. And, like, I've tried therapy, none of that shit works and blah, 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 blah. Like, it's going to be a turn off, not because I have issues, but because of my approach to it, or how am I overcoming it? I spoke about this with my client earlier, where, bless his soul, he's so lovely, he's such a gorgeous man, and he was saying he was worried, or he's conscious of, like, if he were to share things that he'd gone through, in his life, like trauma, that it would turn people off. And I said there's a very big difference between you sharing that and a situation in which that would turn someone off, because my client is extremely emotionally intelligent. He's very forthcoming. He's very proactive. So when he's telling someone his story or sharing his trauma, he is also sharing the energy of the challenge he overcome, the mindset change, the work he's done on himself, the way he's worked on healing himself, the amazing intelligence and skills he has, and emotional vulnerability and emotional intelligence that he has, compared to someone that is like, here, let me trauma jump on you, and I really want you to feel sorry because that's for me, because that's really what I'm seeking, but I'm also not going to commit or do anything about this trauma or these situations that I'm going through. Instead, I just want you to hold me and nurture me through it, but this will become a you problem really soon. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's two different styles of energy to perhaps the same trauma, perhaps the same situation. So anyway, if you're not aware, I've been talking about this workshop this whole podcast, but I haven't explained what it is. The details are on my Instagram. You can follow me or Matt. So Matt is the owner of Men With Manners. He is he's a dating coach, confidence coach. He works primarily with men. He's worked with hundreds and hundreds of men, literally interacted with thousands of men about, you know, their hesitations, fears, worries, experience dating, and he really moves them and transforms their experience in a way that is positive yet also authentic and true to self. So I think it's a really, really amazing thing. I'm really excited to be collaborating with him, because Matt and I always say that it's really uncommon to have two people that align, our views on this align perfectly. And you've heard me say in previous podcasts, even without Matt being present, like, I would never ever recommend a dating coach except for Matt or myself. Like, there is truly, I'm really, really not a fan of dating coaches in 99% of cases, but everything Matt says is so, it hits the mark, and it's so authentic, and it is absolutely not sleazy pickup artistry bullshit that is about how to manipulate people to be attracted to you. It's about showcasing you and yourself and your strengths, and also knowing what's working against you. So this is a lot about, our workshop is a 6-week workshop. It's conducted online, live every week. And if you miss the live, you can watch the replays, of course, they're yours to keep. You're part of a chat community group, so you can ask your questions during live. We have live Q&A. You can talk about those things. And in between our sessions, we also do like messenger coaching. So you might put a question in chat being like, hey, this happened, or what are your thoughts on this? Or I just realized I have this insecurity. We'll be replying to you literally like daily, communicating with you. You can upgrade your package as well. So we have a gold package, which is those two things, the workshops and the access to the community. And then we have a platinum package where you get those two things, plus a whole bunch of other accesses to other things that are like quite transformative, workshops previously done, and one-on-one coaching sessions with Matt and myself. So you can decide, do you want to use them with just me? Do you want to use them with just Matt? Do you want to split them half and half? It's totally up to you. They make it really, really personalized for you. So the purpose of this workshop is working with men that are struggling with their romantic connections and interactions. And it is not a workshop. Part of the workshop is about, yes, how do you approach? How do you make conversations that flow? How do you show romantic intent without being overwhelming them and throwing it in their face and scaring people off? How do you land those dates and things like that? But another really, really big aspect of this that most dating coaches never even breach is learning to find and heal the source of what's been holding you back. So part of it is educating you on the general things that have been holding you back and things that are like, you know, like I said before, like this kind of energy, blah, 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 blah. But also knowing like, what are your specific fears? What are your specific anxieties? What are your insecurities? What is your, you know, low self-esteem trigger points, or your negative, automatic negative thoughts or limiting self-beliefs that are present for you? Where do they originate from? What evidence do we have towards them? What evidence do we have against them? How can we rewrite and rewire your brain to think differently and approach these situations differently? How can we present you or get you to embody someone that you genuinely want to be? If you want to be someone that is funny and confident, how can we emphasize these parts that are already within you and have you ready to showcase that? How can we have you believe that? So this is why we call it the authentic blueprint, because it is about, with standard dating coaches and books and things like that, it's like, embody this, be funny, be confident, be this, be that. And we're like, no, you need to work to what your strengths are. You absolutely have and can access parts within you, but sometimes to access those parts, we have to remove the barriers that are present. Anyway, I'm going on about it. The information's on my Instagram and on Matt's Instagram, which is at men with manners with a full stop in between, basically. But I'll link that information in my show note. So message me blueprint, the word blueprint on Instagram if you'd be interested in joining. I think it's a really, it's fun and interactive, but it's also like an intensive and transformative workshop where you get more out of it than just how to approach and meet women, but also like how to transform yourself into something that you feel like truly aligns with you and working in your self-esteem and confidence as a whole. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to working with you guys. I think it's going to be really fun, really interesting, very informative, very educational, but also enjoyable. So let me know if you're interested in joining that. And yes, by the way, it's not free. There is a cost. The information of that is on my Instagram. So yeah, and also if you want to work with me privately, as I had said last time, I'm at the point of near book out. I don't even know by the time this comes out, I may or may not be taking clients. I'm open to taking one or two more, only because I have two or three clients that are finishing their programs up with me within the next fortnight. But yes, bear in mind, I am pregnant. I can only take clients for that much longer. So if you'd like to work together, do it now or within the next couple of weeks. Otherwise, I will no longer be taking clients until perhaps sometime after birth. We will see. Just inquire anytime you want via my website or Instagram. All right, lovely to talk to you guys. Well, lovely to talk to myself, I guess, and have you guys listen. Thank you as well for your feedback last time when I was like, I didn't even remember I did this, where I was like, do I talk too fast? And blah, blah, blah. Let me know on my Instagram. And so many of you messaged me and it was so beautiful, I forgot about it. So I love interacting with you guys. I love knowing about your lives and what goes on with you. So yeah, thank you so much. Yes, I shall see you next week, or hopefully later in the week. I will be doing some more mini eps, and yeah, talk soon. Bye.